Summertime in Minnesota is the perfect time for exploring all that the state has to offer, and especially now during a pandemic, visiting our parks and maybe shorter day trips seem like a great way to get out of the house and spend some time outdoors. So reach for the newest edition of Explorer's Guide Minnesota and plan your next trip. It's the perfect guide to navigate Minnesota's cities, lakes, and everything in between. There's something for everyone in this book. And we're joined now by the author, Amy Ray. Born and raised in Minnesota, currently living in the Twin Cities area, Amy is the author of Backroads and Byways of Minnesota. Explorer's Guide Minnesota is in its third edition, just published. Now, Amy, can you tell us what goes into creating a guide like this, especially one of this magnitude? You're covering towns throughout the entire state. And also, did you actually get to visit all these towns that you featured?
It's a lot of work. And this is the third edition of this particular book. So my first one, I want to say, was in 2007 or 2008. And that was by far the highest workload for something like this. And I have not visited every single town in this book, but I have visited probably 90% of them. Because you really have to go there. There's only so much the internet can tell you, as wonderful as the internet is, but you don't have to be there to walk down the street and say, oh, hey, here's this little shop that I didn't see mentioned on the internet, or here's this little cafe that just opened up that I haven't heard about yet, and kind of get the, you know, the feel for the environment. So I put on, you know, thousands of miles on my car going all over the place, and it many, many, many hours of reading and writing and research. The subsequent editions are also kind of labor intensive, not as much because some things don't change a lot. You know, Art Institute of Minneapolis, that's still there. You know, it's got the same phone number and the same address. So, you know, that's not so hard to update. It's more or less looking for the things that have sadly closed over the years, or, you know, the things that have sprung up to replace them.
How do you decide which towns and cities make it into this book?
Well, it's mostly a decision of, is there something that someone who doesn't live in that town would be interested in visiting for whatever reason? And so that's kind of decisive. And then that makes it, you know, fairly easy in some cases. You know, obviously North Shore is a pretty big draw. The Bemidji area is a pretty big draw. So then it's kind of more of a case of going to places that I don't know much about or hadn't known much about. And for me, the first time around, that was a lot of Southwest Minnesota I was not real familiar with, and quite frankly, enchanted with what I discovered when I drove out there and really got to see it. So I think that's a big part of it, is just trying to think, if someone is going to travel, what would draw them here? What, you know, if they're outdoor people, or they're historical sites, artistic sites, you know, what is it that would make them want to come here and visit?
So you just mentioned that places like the Art Institute, they don't change very much at all. But what kinds of things have changed since the earlier editions of this guidebook?
Well, restaurants, I made a joke after the first edition came out that it no sooner went to press, and all of a sudden every restaurant I felt like that I had covered died. Yeah, so the restaurant scene is always very volatile.
Right.
One change I noticed in the third edition, which made sense when I thought about it, is even from the second edition, most small independently owned shops or eateries had websites of some kind. And in this edition, I found a lot of them had dropped the websites and gone to a Facebook page, which, you think about it, makes perfect sense, because the Facebook page is free. And once you have it up and running, pretty easy to maintain, as opposed to a website that might involve cost and more expertise. So I'm seeing a lot of, you know, these independent business owners really using social media as a way to get their business out there, which I think is super smart.
Do you have any recommendations on exploring Minnesota now that we're in this pandemic?
Yeah, this is a tough time. And I would say, you know, given what the Minnesota Department of Health has been talking about in terms of distancing, obviously the big things people could do right now are more outdoor things. So, you know, we're blessed with an amazing state park system, and there are state parks all over the state. And I would say that's probably one of the first things I would recommend, and also county parks too. Same thing. I think in a lot of these, you can probably distance pretty easily, get that change of scenery from sitting in your house, and you know, get some much needed vitamin D and exercise. So the first thing I would say is go look for the outdoor things you're allowed to be doing right now. And then I guess it comes down to people's risk tolerance. You know, restaurants are starting to talk about opening up with limited capacity. And some people I see online are saying, nope, not ready. And other people are like, oh, please let me get out there. And so that's going to be up to the individual people. But I would just strongly urge everyone to pay attention to all the information coming out of the Department of Health in terms of distancing and wearing a mask when appropriate.
I'm talking with author Amy Ray. She's the author of Explorer's Guide Minnesota. Amy, what are some of your favorite places to explore in Minnesota?
Oh boy, there's so many, Tammy. They're like my children. I mentioned a little bit ago that going to Southwest Minnesota was a revelation for me. I loved the Pipestone Laverne area. Speaking of state parks, Blue Mountain State Park is gorgeous. It has some wonderful hiking. And the Jeffers Petroglyphs, which is kind of heading out in that Pipestone area, is super interesting. So I sometimes say to people, you know, the North Shore is obviously a huge attraction, and I love it, don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes people forget that there are other parts of the state that are worth visiting. And so that's part of what I would want to say is, you know, yes, absolutely, go visit the North Shore, but then maybe take a break and go southwest, or maybe go direct north, you know, to the Bemidji area where you are. Or a couple of years ago, I was up in the International Falls area in Lake of the Woods and got to go hiking at Zippel Bay State Park, and it was beautiful. It's like, yeah, these are all, you know, amazing things. I'm also really partial to historic sites. I'm kind of a geek about those. So I love the Minnesota Historical Society, and they've got spots all over the state too that I think most of them are not open right now, but when they are open, I strongly recommend visiting as many as you can.
I'm glad you mentioned the northwest corner of the state, because that's an area I haven't really explored and I've been really wanting to. What are some other attractions up there?
Well, there, like I said, the Zippel Bay State Park is gorgeous. If you go, take some deep woods off. they have those little biting flies that are nasty, but the deep woods off kind of keeps them away. But it has this amazing beach, and you can just barely see Canada in the distance. So it's a beautiful hike. But there are some kind of fun things to do up there. The Anderson Window Plant has a visitor center that's really interesting. It's very well done. You know, I kind of went there with a, well, I'm here, let's go see, and ended up being quite fascinated by it. And then also, if you go over, oh, is it Roseau? There's kind of a little renaissance happening up in the very, very far northwest corner of the state, where there's a distillery that opened up, and then the distillery in turn spawned, well, didn't spawn, but it inspired somebody else to open a brewery. And that did so well that inspired somebody in town to open a coffee shop with an Airbnb. So there's kind of a little, you know, hey, look, this is cool. We're developing this kind of attraction that people are driving hundreds of miles to come visit. And so that's really fun to do too, and really good distilled beverages as well.
So do people usually ask you questions like that? Do they ask for recommendations of places to visit in the state, especially since you've written these books?
They do. And that's actually, I would be lying if I said I didn't see that as a compliment. So I'm always happy for that.
I was thinking about this as I was flipping through your book, how different this experience is rather than searching online. If you start out online, you have to actually sit down and think about what it is you want to search.
Right.
But the beauty of this book is being able to flip through and say, well, maybe I want to take a day trip. Let's browse through this book. So I think the power in this book is really in the browsability, just being able to flip through and look at the pages and having something jump out at you and to get ideas of where in the state you'd like to explore.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's useful. And I think it's also kind of a snapshot of a specific time too. You think about, this is kind of Minnesota pre-pandemic.
You should make that a sticker and put it on each book.
Yeah, exactly. Historical document, save. Yeah.
That's Minnesota author Amy Ray. Explorer's Guide Minnesota is available now.